the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Next week, the European Broadcasting Union will meet to decide whether to throw Israel out of the Eurovision next year, given that a number of countries led by Ireland have said they will not compete if Israel is in the event. But what about when it comes to sport? We have had some controversies about playing Israel in sport in recent years, particularly in women's basketball. But fortunately, the Irish men's team has not been left in a position of having to play against Israel. Other countries have, given that it is a member of UEFA. We're joined by Miguel Delaney, chief football writer of The Independent. But Miguel, could that membership of UEFA be in doubt?
Well, so after 2 years of pressure and discussion about this, it seems like it's quite a fast-moving story now, principally because of that United Nations panel of experts that reported on Wednesday and basically called for Israel, that we shouldn't see business as usual in football. Those are their words, and UEFA and FIFA should act. And just actually before I come on the line, I'm told that Amnesty International are about to follow this to call for UEFA and FIFA to suspend or ban Israel. So yesterday, it was basically let be known by senior figures within UEFA that they want to convene a meeting as soon as possible of the UEFA Executive Committee to either suspend or ban Israel. A lot of ex-co members want that to happen. A lot of them feel very strongly about it, and actually, like a lot of people. And a lot of national federations or member associations, as UEFA call them, also would back at the very least discussing a ban. Now, I suppose people would immediately question why this hasn't happened earlier, and in these discussions already, the contrast has been made with Russia. One of the differences with Russia, I suppose, was that teams were... There was two reasons, really. I mean, one... teams hadn't yet said they would absolutely refuse to Israel, which did happen when, so they would refuse to play Israel, which did happen with Poland back in 2022 for those World Cup qualifiers. And the other is that UEFA and FIFA generally don't like to adjudicate on, have stances on this matter. First of all, because I think they'd see the national team as representative of a country, if not the state. And secondly, because if they make a call on one geopolitical issue or conflict, they have to adjudicate on various. But in this case, people within UEFA feel so strongly that they now want to move forward in this and move forward quite quickly, because Israel are supposed to play Norway on the 11th of October and Italy on the 14th of October in the World Cup qualifiers. And it's known, actually. I mean, look, Amnesty in Norway were one of the first to come out on this. The Norwegian Federation are one of those who would have a more questioning stance on this. And it's known some of the players as well actually have misgivings about the situation and playing Israel. But there is a potential, I mean, I suppose, typical of the story, obviously it goes to dimensions way beyond sport.
Well, indeed. Sorry, Miguel, aren't there other problems in that even if UEFA decide to suspend or expel Israel from the World Cup 2026 qualifying competition, the World Cup is a FIFA competition. Could FIFA turn round and tell UEFA, we don't care whether you're suspending, this is the pathway that Israel has to try and qualify for the World Cup, you've got to let them participate?
That is essentially it. And again, the whole situation could create a governance crisis in football. Now, there's also another interesting development in this, which points, I suppose, the strength of feeling within UEFA. So when the Russia thing happened 3 years ago, the FIFA organised a meeting of the Bureau of the FIFA Council. That is essentially the head of all the confederations, UEFA, the AFC, the CONCACAF, and the president of FIFA himself, Gianni Infantino, who sit and decide some sort of coordinated plan because of the awareness that any sort of ban somewhere, the system is so interconnected, it has consequences elsewhere. Whereas in this case, that hasn't been done, and UEFA are essentially striking out on their own because of the strength of feeling. As you say, as you point there, this, you know, potentially creates a huge, conflict, a clash, and potentially a complication, because as it stands, FIFA have been very much in thrall to Donald Trump's administration, who on Thursday already came out and told Sky News they will push back extremely strongly against any attempt to ban Israel. Now,
But how could they push back, given that Israel has to qualify through a competitive process? It's not like FIFA, is it, would risk the World Cup by turning around and giving Israel a place if it hasn't qualified for the competition.
No, but that's essentially that they would pressure that Israel isn't thrown out of the qualifiers. And as you said, that's where it's so relevant that even though the European qualifiers are organised by UEFA, they're under FIFA's jurisdiction. So yes, UEFA could essentially have to organise games for a country they've banned because FIFA, the higher power, insists on it. And we could have a situation then where it goes to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. But of course, as you rightly say, the main reason that no one thinks FIFA will ultimately ban Israel is because of Infantino's relationship with Donald Trump. Now, within FIFA, they would say it's not necessarily about his relationship, although we've all seen him at the inauguration and the likes of that. It's about how they've got a logistically complex World Cup mostly in America next year, although also in Canada and Mexico. That's often forgotten. And they need this to run as smoothly as possible. And in that context, they can't be seen, or they essentially, they have to keep Donald Trump on side.
Okay, I want to come back to that in a second, Miguel. But Infantino, he makes Sepp Blatter, his predecessor, look like a choir boy in comparison, because not only has he managed to suck up to Trump, but he has sucked up enormously to the Qataris, who hosted the last World Cup, and to the Saudi Arabians, who are going to have the 30-34 World Cup, which he set up for them. And of course, Morocco's involved in the 30-30 World Cup. I mean, how's he going to balance that if the Arab world mightn't want him facilitating Israel getting a pass into the World Cup?
Well, it's funny. I mean, on that, I mean, I was talking to someone who works quite close to the top of these football governance structures today, and they said, like, Infantino, despite perceptions, is a smart man. I mean, I suppose that's partly how he's got to this situation. And he usually comes up with some sort of compromise solution that forces these things through. In this case, he's going to have to come up with something very creative, because it looks like one of those stories that is finally going to bring all of those various external forces that have been kind of acting on football, and some of them the football has courted, as you say, Infantino himself has courted many of them, that you get to a point where you can't go past and something has to give. And completely, and this articulates so many of those issues. So on one side, you've got Qatar. Now, people close to the Qatari leadership were yesterday denying Israeli reports that they put pressure on FIFA, or put pressure on UEFA, sorry. But then, like, you've got the absurd situation there where, say, the European Club Association, who are the body who most represent the clubs in Europe, they have a seat on the UEFA Exco, and their guidelines state that they usually will take the federation's lead in any such decisions. But then, of course, who is the chair of the European Club Association? Where it's Nasser Al Khelaifa, the president of Paris Saint-Germain, who is ultimately answerable to the Emir of Qatar. And on the other side of that, you obviously got this, I mean, like, you've got the American pressure, and when the Home Department is coming out and telling a major British broadcasting station that they will absolutely challenge this. And really, you see kind of the sort of mess the football is getting itself into that has been a long time coming.
Another issue, Miguel, I just want to bring up between the time we've left. Trump now apparently is threatening both San Francisco and Seattle that if they don't bow to his will, that they may have six games each taken away from them in the World Cup, that Trump will insist that matches are moved to other cities.
Well, it was pointed out to me, one of the first things that was said to me when that story came up today was they're democratic cities, which maybe says a fair bit. I mean, I'm due to go to the draw in December this year. And the parallels have struck me, I have to say, because I was at the draw 8 years ago in Moscow, which is held at the Kremlin, in what was a big show by Putin. And initially this draw was supposed to be in Vegas, but Trump has insisted that it's going to be in Washington, it's going to be at the Kennedy Center rather than the White House. So again, you couldn't have a more classic case of sports washing to that degree, really, of just the use of sport for the projection of power, and also the use of sport to actually leverage power, which is exactly the case, as you say, with the host cities. But then again, like, I mean, you know, there's always this long-running argument about, like, how football and politics should be separated, which is such a simplistic view. They can never be separated. But this is precisely why you shouldn't have presidents of major authorities so courting or so forming such kind of visible relationships with major powers in the way they do, because these are exactly the sort of messes you get into. And then obviously there's going to be questions about the kind of, you know, in what context decisions are taken. And hence we may have this mess where the two leading bodies in football, UEFA, the European body, and FIFA, the overall body, are look to be in direct contradiction on this.
Thank you very much, Miguel Delaney, Chief Football Writer of The Independent.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.